All right. They look half asleep. This is tough starting this off. I think I'm going to pick up where I left off the other night just a little bit. Not much, but just a little bit. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter number 1, if you would. And it is good to be here again and the opportunity to be in this place and stand in this pulpit. I appreciate it. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I'm preaching on this subject this morning on what God does when he creates. What does God do when he creates? Now, you remember the other night we were talking about prophet, priest, and king. And I told you this, that the prophet does the work, the Holy Spirit does the work of a prophet. The Holy Spirit foretells. That's what a prophet did. And that's what happened to me that night I got saved. The Holy Spirit told me I was going to go to hell if I didn't get saved. It foretold my future. Now you say, what does God do? Well, he always uses the Holy Spirit. In our text here, the Spirit began to move. Now nobody's going to get saved unless he moves. The Spirit must move or nobody gets saved. And then when he does move, he says, always says, let there be light. Thank God there was light. It's the same way when he's making a new creature in Christ. He moves and he foretells. And in our text, now, let me say again, I want to show you, first of all, a good picture of the Holy Spirit, if you would. And I want you to turn to John chapter number 1. Now, to show you what he does with the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. Nobody in Scripture is more like the Holy Spirit than John the Baptist. Nobody. Nobody. Now, John and Jesus was related. Y'all get that? John and Jesus was related. So was Jesus in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so in John chapter 1, the Bible tells us in verse number 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now the Holy Spirit was sent from God. And he was sent to do a work. And he does this work. You know, in the book of Job, he said that the Holy Spirit had created me. And he does the creation in that of regeneration. Now, let me say this. He's sent from God, but if you notice this, he tells us in verse 9, he said, that was the true light. And the Bible says, I'm sorry, in verse number 7, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now, John was sent to bear witness of the light. The Holy Spirit is bears witness of the light. That's who told me Jesus was who he was. He bared witness. You know what a witness does, don't you? They tell what they've heard. They tell what they've seen. I'm going to tell you, you're going to need him because the devil is accuser of the brethren. And I'm glad when the devil says, you're lost. I'm glad I've got a witness that says, I was there, I heard, I seen, I know what went on, and he testifies on my behalf. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 5, 9 and 10 that he put a witness in you. You know how you know you're saved? The witness. John come to bear witness, and so does the Holy Spirit. Oh, I'm glad of that, praise God, amen. Now notice something else. About this thing about John we're talking about. Now the Bible tells us here in verse 19, you know what they did? They thought that John was Jesus. Yeah. Look at verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And then he said, "I'm not him." He was so much like Jesus, they thought they were one and the same. Well, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, is one and the same. I'm trying to show you this picture and what he does in this work of redemption. He does it right here. Now, if you notice in John 1 and verse 23, he says, now you make it straight the way of the Lord. Now, if you notice over in Luke 1, it tells you why John was born. Now look at Luke 1, and I'm just doing less, and I'll get to preaching here in a minute. I'm trying to lay a foundation here. Look at Luke chapter number 1, and we see something about this thing. He tells us in verse number 76, he tells us something about this. Now look at it. He said, "Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Now, I'm telling you, the Lord's not going to show up here unless the Holy Spirit comes first. In scriptures, you'll see John, and then you'll see Jesus. You'll see John, and then you'll see Jesus. You see, John was born first, then came Jesus. Jesus never shows up without the Holy Spirit making way. Do you know how I got saved? The Holy Spirit prepared the way for me to get saved. He prepares the way. Amen. You didn't get saved by accident. There was something that happened. And he prepared the way that he can make a new creature out of you. Amen. Now, did you notice something else? He tells him why he's born. Look at verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation. You said, "A preacher told me about it." Well, a preacher told me about it a lot of times. I didn't get it. But when John the Holy Ghost told me one time, I got it. He must give you the knowledge of salvation. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what they tell you. If the Holy Spirit's never told you, you will never get it. No man can know the thing. What man knoweth the things of man? Say the spirit of man. No man can know the things of God except the spirit of God tell him. You see, that's why in salvation, the Holy Spirit deals with your intellect. Now, stay with me here. You didn't come up, and I'm not Calvinist. I can't stand that stuff. But you didn't come up with the idea of getting saved. You know what he did? He probed your intellect. That's why in scriptures, he deals with your mind. In scriptures, Jesus deals with your heart. Did you ever notice Matthew 5, 6, and 7? He's always talking about the inside. Clean that one on the inside. He's always talking about the inside. He's going to deal with your heart. But God's going to deal with your will. And so he begins to probe your intellect with his spirit. That's why demons emulate spirit. They talk to the mind. Satan, now Satan's not a trinity, but he tries to act like one. Satan tries to be Jesus. He's transforming into an angel of light. But Lucifer wants to be like God. I'll be like the Most High God. Y'all with that? Everybody's looking strange here. I didn't say it was a trinity, but I'm trying to how he works through scriptures. Amen. Amen. Now, you say, what else? Well, he prepares the way, Lord. He gives you the knowledge of salvation. All right? Now, let me say this. Do you know who introduced Jesus to the whole world? It was John. Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. The night I got saved, I was a Church of Christ. And the Holy Spirit came down to me and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world." I got introduced to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. You can't get saved without him. Amen. Did you know John tells us, it says in verse, I believe it's 32, it says that John come baptizing. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Are you seeing the picture of the Holy Spirit, what He does? You see, Spirit in the Bible is life. You can't separate Spirit and life. James said the body without the Spirit's dead. Amen. And so you can't separate that. Now let me say this. Here's what John said in John 3:30. He said, He must increase, but I must decrease. He said, when the Holy Spirit come, He wouldn't speak of Himself. You better watch somebody that starts exalting the Holy Spirit over Jesus. That's messed up. But when He comes, did you know this? Now watch. He said, I must decrease. That's why everybody decreases when He comes. I had a fellow in our town when I pastored in Florida and Central. He was the mayor. He was the mayor, and he also was the head of the KKK. They told me, said, you better leave him alone. And I kept talking to him one day, and he said, I tell you, I wouldn't come up there with them bunch of hypocrites. I said, well, I said, now they'd be a step above you. I said, you'd have to go to church to be a hypocrite, and you won't even do that. Well, he showed up. And man, he was mean. He'd sit there and just like that. And that went on for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. And he had a sister that couldn't sing a lick. And she said, I want to sing. And I was talking to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said, let her sing. And I thought, man, I can't let her sing. I had a house full. So I let her sing, and she got up, and he was sitting about the second row. And she got up, and she started singing. Boy, she was terrible. And she started singing, there is no hiding place from God's amazing grace. And I watched him. He went like this. He started decreasing. Jesus started increasing. And he got out of that seat and came and got saved. Praise God. He's still there today. That was 1996. I'm trying to tell you, when he shows up, you decrease. But Jesus increases. You see, he uses the Spirit of God to tell us how to be saved. Number two, he separates when he creates. Did you notice there in the book of Genesis? The Bible tells us there in Genesis. Now notice something about this. He separates, amen. Now you say, what did he do? I'll tell you what he did. He divided in verse 3. He said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That's exactly what happened when I got saved. Amen. I was telling somebody this morning, my cousin's a doctor in Cincinnati, and I've got social worker's license for Kentucky, and so he was helping me. And I went into class. This is kind of interesting. And I went in this class. This doctor was teaching on births, and he was a heathen. But he didn't know he was teaching good Bible. He was teaching real good Bible. Y'all think about this. Here's what he said now. Yeah, I was in this class. Here's what he said. He said, first of all, two things got to happen with a woman. He said, first of all, she's got to shed blood. If she can't shed blood, she can't have a kid. In other words, without shedding of blood, there'll be no birth. Whoo! Y'all getting that? He said, number two, said she's got to shed water. He said, if her water don't broke, there'll be no baby. I got to thinking the first time I was born, there was blood and water everywhere. The second time I was born at Calvary, and they stuck a spear in his side, and out come blood and water. He said, you got to be born again. Whatever happened the first time has got to happen again. And that's exactly what happened again. Now, I got noticing this. Them babies, when they come out, their birth, they'll go like this. You say, why are they doing that? They're seeing light for the first time. They start seeing things they never seen before. Praise God, that's what happened to me when I got saved. I started seeing things I'd never seen before. I started thinking, man, church is pretty good. Never seen it like this before. I didn't like preaching. I said, boy, that's good. Started liking the Bible. I started seeing things I never seen before. You know why? Because he separates when he creates. He starts dividing light from darkness. Did you ever notice something else about them babies? They'll come out and they'll go like this. It's like they're saying, thank God I'm free. They've been in there 9 months and they're free at last, praise God. I tell you, that's what happens when you get born again. You get free and you get light. Hey, amen. And the reason it is, God separates. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says in the book of Colossians 1:13, he said, who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. I tell you, he separates. Number three, God uses seed. If you would, look at it with me. Look at verse number 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed. See the word seed there? And the fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind. Now notice that, his kind. All right, whose seed, there it is again, is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind. And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. God saw that as good. Now, what God did, he used seed. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, the word of God. Now, do you know how I got saved? I had a seed put in my heart. Somebody went sowing seed. Amen. Y'all with me? And that seed, you say, what'd it do? It began to germinate. Now, you say, why'd he do that? Well, now, if you notice, he said they're going to produce after their own kind. Now, what God did, he said, I want one after my kind. So you know what he did? He said, I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it through a birth. Now I'm going to do it through seed. Now that word seed is also the word sperno or sperm. And it's also the oldest word in our vocabulary. The word word. It's the same word. This is a seed. A man went to sow seed. Now in that class I was taking, he showed this them and he said, now, he said, you see that thing that looks like a tadpole? And he said, that thing that looks like an egg? He said, now when that thing looks like a tadpole, that's that seed. He said, them two get with that egg. He said, there's going to be a baby every time. Same way, when the Holy Spirit and the Word of God get together in the womb of your heart, produces a baby every time. Now you can't get saved with just word only. Y'all with me? You can't get saved with spirit only. Because it's the spirit that gives life to the seed. This is quick. It's alive. It's a spiritual book. Amen. It gets in there and it produces something like Jesus. I'm as perfect as Jesus is inside. That's a different seed. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm liking it. Then the serpent had to be dealt with. He's going to deal with a serpent. In chapter 3 and verse number 14, he deals with a serpent. Now the serpent's got to be dealt with. And he has been dealt with. Look at verse 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You know what he did? He dealt with the serpent. That's exactly what he did at Calvary. Yes. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 John 3:8, it said, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. That's why you had to have Eden round two. You got Adam in the garden, and you got Eden round two with Jesus there with the devil in the wilderness. Right. Did you ever notice something about the devil? He don't have much sense. I want to read you what he had to say. I'd be embarrassed to say this if I was the devil. Now here he's out there with Jesus, and he's going to tempt Jesus. Right. All right. Now listen what he says. He said, and the devil taketh him up in a high mountain and showeth unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Yeah. Now if I told you I'm going to show you everything I got in a moment, you know what you'd say? You ain't got much. Give me a moment and I'll tell you everything I got. But now you know how long it's going to take the Lord to tell us what we got. he shows these kids something in a moment of time. He ain't got nothing to offer you because he ain't got nothing. But I'm glad he was dealt with. I'm glad that God made sure he dealt with him. Amen. Y'all with it? He dealt with him. Amen. Praise God. The devil, friend of mine, I don't know if anybody would know him. He's an older man, Larry Raines. He was laying in the dark, going through a bad time. He said, the devil said, you ain't saved. He said, he laid there a few minutes, and he said, you ain't either. He said he left just as soon as I said that. I'm glad the devil has been dealt with. Amen. The serpent. And then there was salvation given. The Bible tells us in chapter 3 and verse 21 that they were clothed with the skins of those animals. Right. Told you there had to be shedding of blood. There wasn't going to be nothing. Right. Praise God. I'm glad for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That brings deliverance. There's a delivery to be done. Now, let me give this real quick about these births. Number one, this is the toughness of the birth. Rachel, chapter 35, and I wish I'd go through all of this. You'll have to read it yourself. Verse 16 and 17. Number one, it says this about her. She had a hard labor. Yes, there was pain to it. Yes, people want to get saved today without any conviction. They want no pain to it. Yeah. Amen. One fella, he said, I was an easy believer, and I guess I am. But I'm a hard believer also. Now you say, what's that? He said, narrow's the way. That's kind of hard. But if you ever get there, it's easy. You ever had them labor pains? Now, I know she's the one birthing, but I'm telling you, that kid, they showed us how that baby struggles, and he struggles to get down in that tube down through there, you know, and he's wanting to be born, and he's struggling. I'm going to tell you, I believe in conviction. Amen. The reason people are not wanting a pardon, they've never been convicted. You see, there's that pain. There's that place of the birth. See, she was, she gave birth in Bethlehem to Benjamin. That's the first time Bethlehem's mentioned there's a death. But the last time it's mentioned, there's life. Amen. I'm talking about the toughness. And then there's the time of a birth. In Genesis 21, I want you to look at that real quick. Look at Genesis 21. I want to show you something here, if you would. I want you to look at verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare a son in his old age at the set time of which the God had spoken to him. Now notice that. I said the toughness of the birth was Rachel, but the time of the birth is Sarah. Now notice when it was, when the Lord set the time. Now, here's what they did. They went 13, 14 years there. They couldn't do nothing. So Abraham said, if God ain't going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, right.
Go get Hagar.
Yeah.
And so he had an Ishmael Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it ended up bigger. I'm going to tell you, if we don't watch it, we'll get in God's way trying to save people.
Right.
Ain't nobody getting saved until he says so. You can click your heels, you can wish all you want, but there's a time for everybody. I believe that. He said there's a set time. Amen. Set time. I'm glad, praise God. Say, when God says so, when the Spirit draws. Amen. Amen. When the Spirit gets to where it's going. I told you, he told me that seed has got to get in that egg. If it don't make it there, she's not going to have a baby.
Yeah.
If the Holy Spirit don't get in your heart, you see, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance.
Amen.
I'm talking about the time of the birth. I'm talking about the toughness of a birth. The last of all, let me say this, the thankfulness of the birth.
Yeah.
You say, who's that? That's Hannah. Hannah in verse 18 of chapter 1, she thanks first of all God for the grace.
Yeah.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
You need grace.
Yes.
And when you get saved by grace, you're always thankful. Yeah. You can always tell who got saved by grace and who got saved by law. You say, why? Because the law, now watch, here's what the law does. It tells you to shut your mouth. When somebody stands up and says, I want to thank God, I've been going to church 50 years, and I've been doing this, and I've done that, and I've done this, and I've lived right, the law says, shut up.
Right.
But now grace opens it up.
Yeah.
Says, come see this man that told me everything I ever did. The law says you must love God. Grace says God loves you.
Amen.
Amen. She was thankful for the grace.
Amen.
Tell you this, I'm getting ready to quit. But there was a preacher friend of mine. If you ever go through Oneida, Tennessee, you better watch them police. They're in there thick. And he come through there, and he said, the lights come on. Said the cop pulled him over. He got out. He said, what's the problem? He said, you were speeding. He said, I don't think so. He said, yes, you was. I got you. He said, what's the speed limit through here? He said, 55. He said, well, how fast was I doing? He said, 58. He said, are you kidding me? He said, I'll take this to court. Billy Mitchell's his name. And old Billy went to court. He said, I'll just go to court. Said he went in there and said, that big old fat judge up there with them glasses like that, you know. He said, what's the charge here? He said, speed. He looked at that cop. He said, how fast was he going? He said, 58. He said, He said, 55 through there. Looked at Brother Mitchell. Said, what do you got to say for yourself? He said, I think it's kind of ridiculous to get a ticket for 3 miles over. Said that old judge looked down at him and said, it ain't how bad you broke the law. The question is, did you break it? Now, some of you is 58-mile-an-hour sinners, but there's some 75-mile-an-hour sinners. Don't matter. If you broke the law, you broke it.
Amen.
Old Billy, in his wisdom, he looked up and he said, in that case, I'm going to need some grace. He said, that old judge is playing with him. He said, go your way and sin no more. I'm glad, thank God, I had grace. I want to thank God for the grace like Hannah did. She thanked him for the grace, praise God. Amen. Well, she thanked him for the glory. Chapter 2 and verse 1, she begins to praise God. We don't have that much anymore. We don't have much praising anymore. We need that back. I'm telling you, this young generation, I've dealt with, I've been youth director and run camps. What I found out is they love the old-time ways.
Amen.
They love the old-time ways.
Right.
We've got a young choir. You get on our Facebook, Victory Baptist Church, Owenton, you'll see a bunch of kids up there, and they sing, and they'll even shout. Some of them will. I've learned it. I've done it all. I've done it. If it comes to teenagers, I've done everything you can with them, and I'm for that. But I'm going to tell you something. We need to get back to what works.
Amen.
And then she was thankful for the gift. She couldn't have one, and God gave her a baby. Thankful for the gift of salvation. Glad I didn't have to work for it. Amen. I pray I was able to help somebody this morning on that. Thank you, preacher.